The scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, beginning in the second chapter in the first verse. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we've come to pay tribute." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it was written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you found him, bring me word so that I may go and worship him too." When they heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage, opening their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left to their own country by another road. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? I know I would have. That was just an awe-inspiring kind of opportunity. I'm going to go through this a little bit and lift up to you some of the pieces of the puzzle that are being laid out here, and maybe explain some things that seem different to us. The first thing is, I am fascinated at this time. There is nothing that is more embraced right now than skepticism, doubt, not knowing. That's how you show how smart you are. If you don't know anything, you obviously are smart because you admit that you don't know anything. But the thing about the Gospel of Matthew is there are a lot of pieces that put people off, and I kind of want to walk through it just a little bit. First of all, very simply, when King Herod heard this, he was frightened and all Jerusalem with him. Why would Herod be frightened if the wise men come to say, "Where is the new king to be born?" What happens to the old king when the new king comes? Your time is limited. You're on your way out. Why would Jerusalem be afraid with Herod? Because of what Herod might do when he realizes he's on his way out. Pretty simple and straightforward, isn't it? Then Micah is the prophet that foretells where Jesus is going to be born. They said, "What it's written by the prophet." It's the prophet Micah. So then Herod calls and says, "When did the star appear?" And there comes the next part. How many people have ever seen a star stop? Nobody? It's because they tend not to do that. Because the star isn't moving, we are. When I was young, I said, "This is stupid. If wise men are coming from the east and they're following a star in the east, why are they moving? They're already in the east, right?" Made perfect sense to me, but you see, I'm not nocturnal. Have you noticed that the sun rises in the east and it sets in the west? Same thing happens with stars. The earth doesn't stop spinning at night. So, the star goes, they follow the star. The star stops. At that point we go, "Oh, they're just stupid old people. They don't know what they're talking about. They were just backwards and didn't understand things like this." just warn you that these people are the same era as Socrates, Aristotle, Plato. They weren't stupid. They didn't have the same vocabulary we have. But one of the things that I found interesting is that the chair of the astronomy department at the University of Michigan said, well, I don't know if it proves anything, but there was an astronomical event at that time. And it was a lining up of planets. I don't remember what they all are anymore, but it's three or four different bodies come into collinear formation. I think that's the fancy word they use. And what that causes, it makes the star appear to stop. When they all come into alignment, there seems to be a pausing at that time. So it does make sense, and it is logical that the star seemed to stop. Another bit of ignorance that is embraced very quickly. How many people have heard, we don't know if there were really three wise men? I saw that all the time in the paper. We don't know how many wise men there were. We don't know where they came from. We don't know any. We are in the Western Church. In the Eastern Church, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthasar were saints of the church way back, going into the 2nd and 3rd and 4th century. Gaspar was an old man, the king of Tarsus. He's depicted with the white beard bringing the gold. Melchior is a middle-aged man, brings frankincense from Arabia. Balthasar is a young, dark-skinned man, bringing myrrh from the area that we now call Yemen or perhaps Ethiopia. Their ages are in their 60s, in their 40s, and in their 20s, respectively. Why do we think there were only three? Because if you were coming to bring worship to somebody, to a king, if you were coming from Tarsus to pay tribute to the new king, you'd bring a present. You wouldn't come just to say hi. You would come bringing a gift from your area. So the fact that there are three presents, pretty good indication there were three gifts. It's not like there were four and one guy lost his gift along the way. If you suspend your disbelief, logic takes over. I'm going to keep repeating this in the year to come because I think we lose sight of this. You have to examine your doubts as strongly as you examine your faith. You can't just, if somebody expresses a doubt or somebody is skeptical about something, say, oh, must be true then. You got to see it through. You got to look at it logically. So these three people come from far away and tell King Herod there's a new king in town. Herod is terrified, and he wants them to come back. Is he really going to go worship the baby? No, he's going to come to kill the baby. And when they don't come back, he kills all the babies in that time frame. Another historical fact that happened in that area. So, what does all that mean? The king is born. The gifts brought. Gold is tribute to a king. Frankincense is what carries up the prayers of a king or a priest. And myrrh is what you use to embalm a king. So all three gifts were gifts of kingship, proving that Jesus was born to be a king. What do we do with that? Well, I think what we do is we share. And I think we have a breakdown in communication. Anybody still remember there was a movie with a guy named Paul Newman? It's called Cool Hand Luke. And the reoccurring theme in the movie is the warden would come out and he would lock them all down or start them all out or shoot them with water hose and says, what we have here is a failure to communicate. And at the end, Paul Newman escapes and he comes out of the cabin and says, what we have here is a failure to communicate. Well, that's what I want to talk to you about today is we have a failure to communicate. If we find a phenomenal new restaurant in Brighton, we will come home, we'll take pictures of our food with our phone. We'll post them on the internet. We'll tell everybody that we know that you got to go to this place. And you know what will happen? You get it harder for us to get reservations at the place we like so much. We'll actually be inconveniencing ourselves and forcing ourselves a longer wait. That's not the way it is with Jesus. If we tell other people about Jesus, is there less Jesus for us? No. Jesus is still there every bit as much as he was before. So what causes this failure to communicate? C.S. Lewis writes about demons discussing how to lead people astray and stop them from flocking to Christ. And one says, well, just tell them it's not true. There's no God. God doesn't love them. Never happened. And the devil says, they know better than that. They've prayed and had their prayer answered. They've seen other people pray and had their prayer answered. They'll never believe that. That's a waste of time. And they keep throwing out, the demons keep throwing out ideas and how they're going to do it and what they're going to do it. And finally, one young demon says, I'm just going to tell him, no hurry, plenty of time. And the head devil says, that's going to work. He says, you'll get them in droves. We always time to do it later. We don't have to rush to Jesus now. We don't have to tell our loved ones about Jesus now. We can just wait and do it some other time. I want to close with a story about Penn Fraser Gillette. Name sound familiar to anyone? He has a TV, they have a TV show, Penn and Teller. They have a residency in Las Vegas. Penn is a cynical, skeptical atheist. I was listening to an interview that he did. It's very telling. He says, I don't resent it when Christians try to get me to accept Christ and save me. If they didn't, it would indicate that either they don't believe it or they don't care about me. So as long as they keep reaching out, I know they still care. Even though I don't believe. What's stopping you from reaching out? The fact that you doubt it's true? Or the fact that you don't care? When you put it in those terms, it's kind of tough, isn't it? Kind of puts a little bit of a burden on you. What is my share? What am I supposed to do? It's not that the world doesn't need it. When you watch the news, it's just all good news, right? There's no pessimism, no anxiety. No, it's a world out there that seems to lack for hope. So we have the hope. It's time to share. I ask you to prayerfully consider what your share might be. Could you pray with me? Lord, in a few minutes, we're going to approach your table. And we're going to invite you to live in our hearts. But Lord, we know you don't really want to live in our hearts. You want us to dwell in our hearts and reach out to the world. You want us to share you. Give us the compassion for others, that we might have be brave enough to let people know that God loves you and so do I. It can be that simple. Once someone knows that somebody cares, it can change everything. And when they know that you care and that your hour is there for them, lives are changed. Lord, give us the strength to do our share, because we know that you'll do the rest. And the people of God said,